Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Questions and Answers, hosted by your man, T-Wash. Couple of things I want to talk about today. I just want to give my brief two cents on the Andrew Luck situation. I want to talk about these Fairweather Colts fans and how shady they did them. I'm also going to continue my fantasy football ranking discussion that I started last week. And I finished up with the quarterbacks, so now I'm going to be moving to the running backs and the wide receivers, tight ends, so on and so on. And if you guys have been watching TV like me, then you know college football is a full go right now. So you got all kinds of teams playing. You had one major upset today, which is Georgia State beating the University of Tennessee. That wasn't supposed to happen, but Georgia State was the better team. They played better. I mean, that small school, they played hungrier than Tennessee. And they beat them in Knoxville, too. So that's really the crazy thing about it, is that they let a FBS school come into their stadium in Knoxville, Tennessee, and beat them 38-31. All right, so what I'm going to say about Andrew Luck, I mean, these Colts fans kill me down here. I understand. The dude, it was only so much to do. He kept getting hurt. I don't want him at all for retiring. I mean, he's constantly injured. And Colts fans need to be blaming that on Ryan Grigson, who's their former GM. This new GM has done a great job since he's gotten here. He had a good offensive line. Unfortunately, he's just late. They needed that GM to be here about 4 years ago. And who knows, maybe the Colts have been in the Super Bowl by now. But all the blame needs to be placed squarely on Ryan Grigson. The reason why Andrew Luck retired. He's the reason why Andrew Luck took a beating. He's the one who brought in, kept bringing in offensive players. Not offensive linemen. Wide receivers, running backs. He's the reason why even those tight guys in and not getting any protection and luck. So everybody needs to vent their anger out at him. But as far as those that boot yourself, the guy gave you all he could give you in the 7 years he was here. You boo this man as he's walking off the field. I mean, you can see it on his face, man. He's really hurt. I don't think the dude wanted to retire. He just tired of going through the same process. Having to heal, you know, over and over. Go through rehab over and over. I think the dude just got tired of it. So he should be booed for that. And truly, I would say, you know, had him break that news. Why do that to the man? He's at the game on the sideline with his teammates, supporting his teammates. And then he makes the grand announcement that he's retiring during the game when he's there. He has to wait till after the game to do that, man. He was supposed to do it during the game. I mean, I know, granted, it was towards the end of the game, but still, come on, man. This dude is on the field. It's almost like Ursay did that just so he could get booed off the field. I guess I can't really say it. It's like I believe Ursay might have did it on purpose, but $24 million don't sit down. $24 million. So, Andrew Luck's kind of getting a pardon gift. It's almost like getting a lottery ticket. But these Fairweather Colts fans, they kill me because I guarantee you, if you call me being pissed off because they're retired. They're going to be right there at the Colts games. That's what I've learned since I've been living down here. That these fans down here, they're not really true fans. If they're winning, they're fans. If they're losing, then they're not thinking about you. So, yeah, they just fair weather fans down here. They need to be true fans. Win or lose. If your team win, then be a fan. If your team losing, still be a fan. Not this fair weather stuff. So, and I believe Jacoby's going to do good. I think that the Colts are good enough to at least go between 7-9 and 9-7. So either they're going to finish 7-9, they're going to finish 8-8, or they're going to finish 9-7. I believe they have all the talent in place. The question mark is just that quarterback spot. You know, how well can Jacoby do? And everybody keeps telling me about this kid, Chad Kelly. I mean, all I know about him, I remember he played at Ole Miss. He's kind of cocky, but I really didn't really, you know, get a chance to see much of him during the preseason. So I don't know how good he could be, but people are tending to say that it's his job for the taking. So I'm thinking that if he's really that good, like everybody's telling me, that means I guess Jacoby got a short leash. If Jacoby plays well, then it's his job. But if he doesn't, then they're going to try to squeeze this Chad Kelly guy in. So, I mean, we'll see. But I think Jacoby's good enough to at least get them between 7-9 and 9-7, like I said, because all the talent is around him. He has good wide receivers. He has good young running backs. The defense is one of the best Colts defenses I've seen in years. So they got everything in place. You got old reliable, my man Adam Vinatieri. Kicking field goals still at like 44 years old. So they have things in place. It's just, can Jacoby Brissett come through at that QB spot? We're going to find out. So, I mean, I just wanted to just say something about that, man. I don't agree with these Colts fans booing the man off the field, you know, because he decided to retire and hang it up. I mean, the guy's he's about to get married. Well, he just got married. He's about to have a child. He's 29. He's still young. And who knows? Maybe he might just, you know, need a couple years to rest because he's still on the contract with the Colts. So maybe he just need a few years to rest up, and then he'll come back. I mean, that is a possibility. You never know. He says he's not going to come back, but most guys get that itch. Who knows? He might get that itch and come back. You know, Andrew Luck was on his way to a Hall of Fame career. I wouldn't put him in now because he hasn't played long enough. But he was on his way. And, you know, like I tell Colts fans all the time, I like Andrew Luck. Not a Colts fan. You know, the Patriot-Colts rivalry is dead now, so there's no reason for me to hate on the Colts anymore. You know, I kind of call it like I see it. I call it like I seen it back then, even when they were rivalries. Peyton Manning's not here anymore, so there's no need for me to like say anything bad about the Colts. Andrew Luck is good, man. And for his career, he played in 86 games. he finished with 71 yards, 171 touchdowns, 83 interceptions. I mean, that's not bad for a 7-year career. And, you know, if you say, being able to stay healthy, had a decent offensive line in front of him. Scott, like I said, the offensive line that they have now with Quentin Nelson, Sanzo got still there, and then you got Quentin Nelson, who's anchoring the offensive line. Got good tight ends. Jack Doyle's back. Ebron had a career year last year after I considered him a bust in Detroit. He came here to Indianapolis and he balled out. He showed out. So stuff is in place for Andrew Luck to do good. But them injuries, man, them nagging injuries, you got tired of them. All right, so like I said, I want to continue talking about fantasy football and talk about a little college football. Like I said, Tennessee was the biggest upset today. Tennessee going down to Florida Atlantic. Kansas, I mean, not national ranked or anything, and Les Miles, former LSU coach, he's there now to try to turn the program around. But they almost lost to my daughter's school, Indiana State, today. They had to score like a go-ahead touchdown, like towards the end of the game, to beat Indiana State. So that's not a good sign for Kansas. Because Indiana State is not a good football program. They didn't win a game 2 years ago. Indiana State went 0-for in their football program 2 years ago. So, I mean, we know how great of a coach Les Miles is, and we know how great he was at LSU. Will he be able to do that at Kansas, who normally doesn't, you know, they're not known as a basketball school. They're not known to have a good football program. So, can Les Miles, you know, make that change and turn them around? All right. So, some of the games that were played Thursday, you had Central Florida destroying Florida A&M 62-0. Then you had Clemson, reigning national champions with Trevor Lawrence. And they destroyed Georgia Tech 52-14. Then you have Texas A&M beating Texas State. See, all the first games will basically be against, like, smaller schools that's not really strong. And, you know, you'd expect a bigger school to win. I guess why it's kind of shocking that Georgia State was able to beat Tennessee today. Then you had Utah beating BYU. So that's basically the battle of Utah, because BYU's in Utah too. So that's like a in-state game. Utah's ranked number 14 in the nation. They won 30-12. Then at number 18, you got Michigan State. They beat Tulsa 28-7. And then you had University of Wisconsin, Heisman hopeful Jonathan Taylor. I saw he ran for 135 yards and four touchdowns, two receiving touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns. So he had four total. And they destroyed South Florida, 49-0. Ohio State, number five, Ohio State, with this new quarterback who had a pretty good game today. They beat Florida Atlantic, Lane Kiffin's school now. That's where Lane Kiffin is the coach, now the head coach, Florida Atlantic. They beat them 45-21. And I have a few more scores to get on, but I'm going to take a quick break. So if you guys want to call in and talk about any topics, you got any words about Andrew Luck, Luck's situation with the Colts, you want to talk about college football, because like I said, it's a full go. Today was the day everything started. Everybody's played. Still games going on now. Right now, I'm watching this Auburn-Oregon game. And Oregon's winning 14-6. It's been kind of exciting. Both defense, well, Oregon's defense is making a lot of plays. And Oregon, you know, playing Oregon Duck football. They're a fast team. They got fast running backs. They're good on special teams. And they've had a couple of special teams play where they almost took it back to the house already. It's halftime now, but the second half is about to start. So you have these two ranked teams playing against each other. This is the game that I'm watching right now on ABC. Number 11, Oregon, against number 16, Auburn. So, guys, if you want to call in and talk about any of these topics, fantasy football, a lot of fantasy football drafts coming on, going on right now. I have a fantasy football draft that I have to go to tomorrow that I'm a part of. So if you got any questions about, you know, fantasy football players, call in 1-347-843-4939.
Are you dropped two tracks? Hey, Somebody done gassed him up. Let me go ahead and burp this little nigga. Look, I've been a cold-blooded assassin. Swear I don't just put the ball in the basket. I'm from the zone, nigga, who you been asking? I said your name a couple weeks ago, you been in the casket. And now you trying to rise up, I see you faking the passion. I'm finna turn his name down of the chump change. I'm that main or that man or that mean. Whatever you want, nigga, I'm that clean. You dropped two songs, whatever that mean. You shoulda did one, them niggas was gassing. And I ain't rocking with them folks that thought it was over. I'm finna sign with State Farm, I'll push you out of your stroller. I run the game like PlayStation, going past the control. I'm on the track with high energy, you lacking the motor, little nigga. Clown. Nah, never that. Put some respect on my shit. Now I might ruffle up some feathers, but I'm just telling the truth. Without that Wayne verse, you just another nigga in the booth. Said it's just rap, but when I'm done, don't try to call the truth. Try and run it up and double up this money to the roof. Money man, money man, I know you rich. 100 mil, that big bank and little bank stuff don't work. I understand what you was doing. You been on my nuts since Duke, and I'm a fan. That don't make sense. I think you need to find a better plan. I used to do your little 4-bar challenge every Friday, but you ain't drop no hits, so man, I had to do it my way. My name is Dame Dollar, and I'm hard. I claim that I'm better than NB3, but no, I'm not. That's clown flow. I come and snatch your bag of downs, don't make a sound, bro. You try to bring my pops into it, let's get down, no. You really try to put me all on the spot. Man, you been quiet for some time, I think I'm making you hot. Adidas did sit some games, but I thought they was whack. As soon as I opened the box, I sent them shits right back. I had to hop over the Puma, now my pockets is fat. Man, I was working, and y'all know I was gonna get right back. I'm done.
All right. Welcome back to Sports Chat. Well, that's my old show. Welcome back to Questions and Answers with your man, T-Wash. All right, I want to finish going down some more of these college scores right now. Number 20, Nebraska beat South Alabama 35-21. Another in-state rivalry game, Iowa State beat Northern Iowa. It was a struggle. That could have been upset. They won, Iowa State won 29-26 in three overtimes. So it took Iowa State three overtimes to win down in Ames, Iowa, to win on their home field against Northern Iowa. Then you got Washington destroying Eastern Washington. That's crazy. So a lot of in-state rivalry game day. Washington beat Eastern Washington 47-14. They got the transfer quarterback from Georgia, Jacob Eason, and he had a great game. He threw for like 360-some yards, like three touchdowns. He was flinging the ball. He had a couple of long pass plays, went for touchdowns. And he got, damn, Penn State put it on Idaho, 79-7. That's probably the most lopsided game of the day. Then you got number two runner-up. Alabama, running up the national champion, Clemson. I was watching this game, and it seemed like it was going to be okay at first. Then the Alabama defense just took over. They ended up beating Duke 42-3. Alabama's Alabama, man. Good defense. Tua played okay. Good receivers. Running backs is like Nick Saban just reload, man. He have a shipment of guys going straight to the NFL. Then he bring in a new shipment of freshmen. That's like the top players in the country every year. Like them and Clemson get the best recruits. And that's why they always number one and number two. Until some of these other schools can, you know, even the balance and get some of the, you know, get like a big surplus of top players, then those two teams are going to continue to be the top programs in the country. All right, I'm watching some of this game, too, the Stanford-Northwestern game. It was boring. Stanford ended up winning 17-7. I didn't finish it. It wasn't really a lot of excitement. It seemed like it was more of a defensive game. I mean, don't get me wrong, defense is a good thing, but I want to see offense, too. I want to see some explosive plays and things like that, and that game didn't provide any of those things. You had Syracuse blanking Liberty 24-0. Okay, so now it's a bunch of games that's currently on. Like I said, I'm watching the Oregon-Auburn game right now. And Oregon's winning 14-6. Right now, it looks like Oregon has the ball with another Heisman hopeful, their quarterback, Justin Herbert. And that's the reason why I'm watching this game. I want to see how good he is because they saying he's the number one quarterback this year. You know, when he comes out and goes in the NFL draft, he's going to be the first quarterback taken. And I haven't seen anything special about the Justin Herbert kid. I mean, his ball placement is good. His arm, you know, seems like he has a decent arm. But I'm not seeing anything special right now that, you know, makes him the number one quarterback that should be taken to me, in my opinion. I would take Tua over him. Because Tua could throw the ball, and if Tua has to run with it, he can run with it too. I don't know. And then Tua, you know, he plays on a winner, man. He plays on a team that's literally in the national championship game every year. So he has championship experience. So I probably would take Tua over this Justin Herbert kid, but they saying he's going to be the number one quarterback taken. And I'm pretty sure he's a Heisman hopeful. Let's see who else. Okay, so the current game is going on right now. You have Iowa, number 20, Iowa. In the Big Ten, you got like six teams that's ranked. At least six. That's crazy. So number 20, Iowa is beat Miami, Ohio, 17-7. Then you got Michigan winning in the Big House, 27-14 over Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee State currently has the ball right now. And you have LSU, number six, LSU, completely waxing Georgia Southern, 52-3 right now. Number three, Georgia, is beating Vanderbilt, 24-6. And at halftime, number 10, Texas, is beating Louisiana Tech, 24-0. Then our late game, we have a late game tonight. It's going to be Washington State against New Mexico State. Comes on at 10 o'clock, so it should be starting here in about 8 minutes. And then tomorrow, you got number four, Oklahoma. Hey, get to see Jalen Hurts, Alabama transfer. He transferred to Oklahoma, so get to see how good he's going to be. He had to transfer. He had to leave Alabama because Tua came in and took his spot, took his job. Jalen Hurts was the starting quarterback for Alabama, but Tua came in and played so good, he took his job. And so Jalen Hurts had to transfer. So now he's on Oklahoma, replacing Kyler Murray, who was number one pick in the NFL draft with the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals. So they play Houston tomorrow at 7:30. And then you got Notre Dame playing at Louisville, number nine Notre Dame playing at Louisville on Monday night. Notre Dame is, in my opinion, they always have been like one of the most overrated teams. It's like if they win two games, I mean, if they lose like two games or even three, they're going to be in the BCS game for some reason. They always got to put Notre Dame in it somehow. I mean, hell, they got their own network, NBC. You know, basically shows all their games. So that's what's going on in college football right now. I'm going to talk about some fantasy football next. Oregon's driving right now. They're 20-yard line. And Justin Herbert kid, he just took a sack. Like I said, I want to see why this kid is so special. They're saying he's going to be the number one quarterback taken. Why? I haven't seen anything special. I mean, maybe I'm being a little too hard. This is game one. You know, a lot of these kids, and they rusty. They've been practicing against each other. You know, it's nothing like playing against an opposing team. It's completely different. So as the season goes on, I want to see this kid and see why he should be the number one quarterback taken, see why he's so great. But just you know, getting a look at him now, I don't really see anything special. He just threw a nice pass. He threaded the needle with a nice pass. Now they're setting up at the 5-yard line. So they're going to try to go in and score and get a bigger cushion against Auburn. Auburn will have to come with it if they want to win this game. They're already down 14-6. Oregon's threatening to go up 21-6. So we have to see. Let's see how Auburn, can Auburn make this stop? All right, so like I said, for the fantasy football, I left off with the quarterbacks. And, you know, in my opinion, I'm taking Baker Mayfield as my number one quarterback. If I can get him, I'm taking him because I think he's going to have a good year. I see him pass for at least 40 touchdowns because of the talent he has around him. Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry. I mean, he has Antonio Callaway, David Njoku. I mean, he has some good pass catchers where I can see Baker Mayfield throwing for 40 touchdowns at least. Then you got Nick Chubb out the backfield. Who can run in and catch the ball? You got Kareem Hunt when he comes back after his 10-game suspension. He can catch the ball out the backfield. So, I mean, I don't think it'll be any excuses for why Baker Mayfield shouldn't be able to throw 40 touchdowns this year. So that's my quarterback I'm taking. It's my first quarterback. If I can't get him, I'm going to try to get somebody like an Aaron Rodgers because we know what he can do. We know he's going to sling the ball and make things happen with his offense. Deshaun Watson would be another one I would take because – I think Deshaun Watson is going to be back to the way he was his rookie season. And his rookie season in the first 7 games were ridiculous. He had the best numbers in the league for a quarterback after like 7 games. Then he got hurt and went out the rest of the year. He tore the ACL. And then last year he had a decent year, but it wasn't the same type of year he had as a rookie. And I think he's going to be back to that because he would have had a full year to heal. So I think Deshaun Watson is going to have a good year. And then they just made a trade. There's been a lot of movement going on in the NFL today. The Texans just made a trade to the Dolphins for Kenny Stills. So that's another weapon. And, you know, I think they need somebody like Kenny Stills because Will Fuller, he just can't stay healthy. And he's a good wide receiver. He's, I mean, don't get me wrong, D-Hop is a all-around receiver. He can take it deep. He could take it short. It don't matter. He's not just a deep threat. But Will Fuller is the legitimate deep threat on that team. And if he can stay healthy, that's going to boost Deshaun Watson's numbers. But that's, like I said, the thing. He hasn't stayed healthy. So Kenny Stills, I think he'll be a good third receiving for him. And then if Kenny Stills, you know, and if Will Fuller, if he gets hurt, he can go to that number two slot. So I think that was a good trade by picking up Kenny Stills from the Miami Dolphins for the Texans. What else happened? Jadeveon Clowney got traded to the Seattle Seahawks. That may bolster their defense, but I don't know how good Jadeveon Clowney is anymore. I mean, he's all right. He's never been all that to me. I mean, we all know he's famous for that hit he put on that player when he's at the University of Michigan. When he hit that player so hard, he knocked his helmet off. That hit made him the number one pick. We all know how good he was in college, but I don't know. I mean, there's nothing flashy about Jadeveon Clowney to me in the pros. So I'm curious to see how he do in that Seattle defense. They're not the Legion of Boom no more, but how good can they be with Jadeveon Clowney? Bolster their defense enough where, you know, they can start stopping teams again. But they don't have that shutdown secondary the way they used to. So I guess by them picking up Jadeveon Clowney, they're trying to bolster their defensive line so they can try to get to the quarterback. Because that secondary, like I said, it's not completely bad, but it's not their strong point anymore. That's crazy. Think about it. All those guys that are on the Legion of Boom are gone. Cam Chancellor retired. Earl Thomas is with the Ravens. Sherman's with the 49ers. They all gone. All right, so top running back, fantasypros.com. They have Saquon Barkley as the number one running back, which I completely agree with. He had a hell of a rookie season. So I'm pretty sure he's going to be the number one pick for everybody in the fantasy league. Whoever has number one probably going to take Saquon Barkley. I would. Then at your number two running back, they got Alvin Kamara, who's another good pickup because, you know, with Mark Ingram being gone now, Alvin Kamara probably going to do both jobs now. He's going to run the ball and he's going to catch it out the backfield like more. I mean, he's already doing that with Ingram there, but he's going to get more of a, have more of a workload now, which means numbers because the guy's explosive. He makes plays. He makes plays out of the passing game and the running game. So, Alvin Kamara, I agree with them. I agree with one, Barkley. I agree with two, Alvin Kamara. I agree with three, Christian McCaffrey. Another one of those do-it-all running backs who can get you numbers both ways. Yes. Yep. Who get you? He get you numbers both ways. Christian McCaffrey would be a good pick. He's done wonders for Cam Newton. Wonders. Cam Newton, he's making his game much better. At number four, they got Ezekiel Elliott. Hell, we don't even know if he's going to be playing. He still has to sign a deal. I mean, they're saying that I guess they're working on it this weekend. So I guess Jerry trying to get him in there before the, you know, before the season start. But no Zeke, Cowboys not winning. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to go 0-for, but they're not going to win the games that matter. The one thing Ezekiel Elliott has proven is that the one thing that Zeke has proven is that he's their offense, basically. They can't function without him. After him, they got David Johnson with the Arizona Cardinals. I could agree with that. But he has some coming up to do, too, because he another running back that's been hurt a lot. He's been hurt like the last two seasons. So this might be kind of high. I might not agree with this one. He kind of has to show and prove. You know, he get back to the form that he was about 3 years ago. That's when he was like an MVP candidate. So I don't know if I agree with David Johnson being number five. I'll probably drop him lower than that. Next is a guy that I'm probably going to pick. If I get Baker Mayfield, I'm going to get him too. So I can have the combo. I can have the quarterback. I can have the running back. Last year's rookie, Nick Chubb, man. Like I said, he does it out of the backfield. And he can catch the ball. He can run the ball. He does it all, man. He had like almost 1,000 yards last season. He had decent receiving yards last year. And he had almost had double-digit touchdowns. So I think Nick Chubb would be a good pickup. And if he's available, I'm probably going to take him. See what else? Who else is next? John Connor for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Great replacement for Le'Veon Bell. I want to say that they just didn't miss a beat, but they kind of didn't miss a beat with him, with Le'Veon being gone the whole season. James Conner, he did a lot. You know, and that's what kind of the league is going to now. Like, back when I was younger, the running back ran the ball. That was it. He really didn't catch too many passes out of the backfield. Now, in this league today, this passing league, you got to have a running back that can do it all. That can do it both. And James Conner, like I say, he could do it both too. This is the phase of running back. This is how running backs are now. Guys, if you want to call in and talk about any of this stuff, you want to talk about Andrew Luck, you want to talk about these fantasy football rankings, talk about college football, because it's a full go now. It's going on right now. Call in. Let your voice be heard. 1-347-843-4939.
It's summer early in the morning, Pop saying he needs me, but I'm being lazy, I say that I'm sleepy. Can I please skip today? They taking it easy while I'm grinding every day. They won't notice, believe me. He told me no, see, that's what they want you to think. You gotta see that you are a reflection of me. Can't you see it now, Coach Beasley? How cold, get to skip, but we can't miss it, has to even out. You can't treat us different, so that's just how he treated me. But now I see the difference, made me who I spring to be. Well, all the ones I tried to bring with me to lead, just pissed the fact I leave the team at home regretting what they need to be. I'm thankful I got fam who made me this. I'm glad they actually gave a shit. That's why I never fail, cause they would never fail me. Then I thank them with some land, a brand new place.
There's never one way to ever do one thing, and I know it's time to run. Trace to try and figure what change, cause people see how some break, so they try to hem ya late. Everybody is so afraid of what's different, but nobody is the same, so come just how you play.
I ain't never wanna be nobody but myself. Try to fit in what they tell you, but it's something else. I'm trying to set the standard, not just go with what is going well. Working for another isn't what you show and tell. I ain't never wanna be nobody but myself. Try to fit in what they tell you, but it's something else. I'm trying to set the standard, not just go with what is going well. What's working for another isn't what you show and tell. Simple-minded, don't excel. Thinking different is a gift. I wanna be the mold. Everybody trying to fit. They if you wanna be cold, gotta do it like this. Who's the top of totem pole? Who defines what is? They ain't worried about nothing but the unknown, y'all. Gripping something foreign like they normal to it all. That's how I'm trying to live it, so I live with my y'all. I can only do some me, I cannot give them my y'all. No.
All right, that was Cole Beasley. I didn't even know he could rap. Play for the Buffalo Bills, used to play for the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, so back to the running backs. Le'Veon Bell, they got ranked number 8. I can agree with that. He had a full year to sit out, so he should be fresh and ready to go. And depending on the Jets' offensive line, you know, will he be able to keep that same patient running style while he's just like sitting behind the line waiting on holes to open the way he used to in Pittsburgh? I don't know. I don't know if the Jets' offensive line is as good as the Steelers. But we know if he got a good offensive line, we know what he can do. We know he can run the ball in between the tackles, and we know he can catch it out the backfield. The new running back, that's what I'm going to call it, the new NFL running back. All these guys in the top 8, well, hell, the top 10, because at number 9, they got Joe Mixon out of Cincinnati. He does both. Number 10, they got Dalvin Cook out of Florida State, who had a hell of a rookie season until he got hurt. And he's trying to come back and, you know, regain his old form. He's kind of like Deshaun Watson. They started off with great rookie seasons, about half of it, and they got hurt for the rest of the season, tore their knee up, and they're trying to get back. You know, those knee injuries take a full season to come back from, to come back and get back to the way you were. So Dalvin Cook, he's trying to get his form back. But like I said, he's another one of those ones who could run the ball and catch it out the backfield. So this top 10, I agree with, except David Johnson. Like I said, I might take him out. Number 11, they got Todd Gurley. Yeah, Todd Gurley, they got him at number 11. I don't know what happened with him in the Super Bowl and in the playoffs. He's playing with an injury, so we didn't really get a chance to see the real Todd Gurley. But those of us who picked him up in fantasy, like I have the last 2 years, know what Todd Gurley can give you. He's going to give you big numbers. And, you know, for the playoffs, he didn't help a lot of us out in the playoffs last year. Because he, like I said, he's playing hurt, so he wasn't his normal self. But when he's healthy, Todd Gurley could be in the top five for running backs. But fantasypros.com has him as number 11. And number 12, they got that that Jones kid, the running back out of Green Bay. Now, I saw him play live in Foxborough last year. He's pretty good, and he's a rookie. So it's pretty good to have a rookie in the top 12 for fantasy football running backs. That means he's going to get a lot of carries. And like I said, Aaron Rodgers, we know what he's going to do. We know he's going to sling the ball to wide receivers and running backs both. So I can see Jones producing, giving you rushing yards and giving you receiving yards out the backfield. Okay, so number 13, they got, I don't even know who this running back is for Detroit, Cade Johnson. I have no idea who he is. But they got him at number 13, so I can't really speak on him because I don't know who he is. So number 14, they got Damian Williams. Now, he might be the sleeper. This dude for the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's crazy because he was on my boys' team for like a game or so and got, you know, and they released him. He played for the Patriots for like a game or so last season and got released. Kareem Hunt gets suspended. He take over in Kansas City, and he balled out. He balled out in the playoffs. He balled out in that New England game, the AFC Championship game. I mean, he got two touchdowns in that game. I think he might be the sleeper. I think he's going to have a good year because he's going to get starters carries now. And it's like a revolving, it's like a record playing over and over. He's one of these running backs that can catch the ball out the backfield. You know, one of the dual threat running backs. And like I said, his workload is going to be more now. So I can see Damian Williams being a sleeper. He'd probably be somebody I think about taking a look at, too, in my draft tomorrow. Damian Williams, I think he can make things happen. And like I said, more carries, more yards, more points for you in your fantasy football league. All right. Then they got Carson out of Seattle. I don't know much about him either. And I finish up at 16. So, yeah, I just do top 16. Leonard Fournette, they got the 16. He's a traditional back. Leonard Fournette, he really don't catch the ball out the backfield. He just runs it. He's just a smash-mouth guy. So this probably be a good place for him. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's strong enough where he's going to get you some rushing touchdowns and some yards, but he's not going to get you those receptions and those passing yards. Because he doesn't do – that's not what he do. He don't – catch the ball out the backfield. So I halfway, you know, I pretty much agree with their rankings. You know, they got Saquon Barkley 1, Alvin Kamara 2, Christian McCaffrey 3. 2 and 3, you could have either way. You could take McCaffrey 2, Alvin Kamara 3, Zeke 4, David Johnson 5. I would drop David Johnson to like 12. Nick Chubb, 6. I agree with that. James Conner, 7. Le'Veon Bell, 8. Joe Mixon, 9. Dalvin Cook, 10. From 6 to 10, you can have those in any order you want. So Nick Chubb don't have to be 6. You can have James Conner, 6. Or you can have Le'Veon Bell, 6. Like I said, he's coming off a season where he didn't even play. So he's going to be fresh and ready to go for the Jets. Uh-oh. Auburn just scored a touchdown. 21-12. Are they going to go for two? I'm thinking they're probably going to go to two. I would go for two. Why not? That'll make it an even 7-point lead. So it's 21-12 right now. And they pulling the offense off the field, so they're going to kick the field goal. Yeah, they're going to kick the field goal. It'll be 21-13. It's not going for two. Third quarter, so there's plenty of time left. Number 11, Oregon's winning 21. Number 16, Auburn is losing 12. They got 12 points, so 21-12. 21-13, they made the extra point. Hey, so maybe this game going to get interesting. All right, so next, let's go to the wide receivers, one of my favorite spots. I like drafting wide receivers. And, of course, they got D-Hop, number one. I mean, what more can I say about him, man? In my opinion, him and Antonio Brown are the best wide receivers in the league. They got Davante Adams from Green Bay, number two. Julio Jones, number three. That top three is about right. Odell Beckham, number four. Tyreek Hill, number five. I think Odell Beckham's going to have a decent year. I don't think he's going to have a great year because I think the focus is going to be on him. And see, that's why I really like Cleveland, man. Because it's like, who you going to focus on? Who the defense going to focus on? You double Odell Beckham Jr., you're going to leave Jarvis Landry to kill you. Or David Njoku to kill you up the seam or across the middle. Then you got Antonio Callaway running deep posts. I mean, it's kind of like pick your poison with the Cleveland offense. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Baker could get it to him. So I would keep Odell Beckham being number four is just fine. Tyreek Hill, five. Smith-Schuster. What is he going to do without Antonio Brown being there? See, I'm curious to see. Now that he's number one, I'm curious to see how he's going to do. Because Antonio Brown received a lot of the coverage and a lot of the pressure leaving Juju Smith-Schuster to get all those numbers and ball out the way he did. They weren't double-teaming him. And now he's going to be seeing those double teams and that same amount of pressure that Antonio Brown was getting. So is he going to be able to play through that and still be productive? I don't know. But I'm curious to see it. But they had Juju Smith-Schuster as number six for wide receivers. Now this guy, he would be the first receiver I would take because him and Drew Brees got a connection and he just got his money and I think he's well-deserved of it. Michael Thomas is a beast. And they got him at number seven. If I can, I'm taking Michael Thomas as my first receiver. Unless somebody snag him up before me tomorrow, I'm going to take Michael Thomas as my number one receiver. Because you know him and Drew Brees got a connection. You know Drew Brees is going to throw him the ball. He's usually the leading receiver on the team, so he's going to get the ball. And like I said, he's a monster, man. He's a beast. He had a breakout season last year. And that's what led to him getting that $130-some million contract he got from the Saints. Number eight, they got Mike Evans. Mike Evans is good, but I'm starting to think he needs another quarterback. I don't know about Jameis Winston no more, man. I think Mike Evans needs to play with a good quarterback. I mean, Jameis Winston's okay, but he's not as good as I thought he would be. I thought Jameis Winston was going to be a monster coming out of Florida State because I really liked Florida State. He was good. Let's see, who else? Keenan Allen, number nine. I agree with that. We already know the connection him and Phillip Rivers have. They always make plays happen. He's been dependable when he's on the field, but he's another one of those guys that always get hurt. If he could stay injury-free, Keenan Allen would be a perennial Pro Bowler. Number 10, they got Antonio Brown, but I mean, is he going to play? He's been complaining about his helmet. So we don't know if Antonio Brown going to play or not, but I'm going to say he's going to play because that's just – he's just being a damn diva. I don't understand why you're tripping so hard about his helmet. But they got him at number 10. Him and Derek Carr could definitely make things happen. I just don't think they're going to have a good team. Adam Thielen from Minnesota, number 11. Been good for him the last 2 years. Came out of nowhere. He's productive. Kirk Cousins and him have a pretty good rapport with each other, so they could definitely make things happen. Number 12, Amari Cooper. When he got traded to Dallas, Dak became a better passer. I think Amari helped him out with that. But regardless, they still not going to win no games without Ezekiel Elliott, so they need to get that fixed. Oh, another big thing that they saying that the Chargers gave Melvin Gordon permission to seek a trade. So it's not looking like he's going to open the season with the Chargers. I don't know. He wants his money. The Chargers want to give him his money because nobody wants to pay running backs nowadays because they starting to become obsolete. They say this is a passing league. They don't want to pay running backs the big money. You know, running back, back in the day, the running back was the main position. Main offensive position besides quarterback. You need to have a strong running back. Now it's all about quarterbacks and receivers. Receivers are getting the loot. Running backs not really getting the loot like they used to. So guys like Melvin Gordon, Ezekiel Elliott, they want their money. And these teams making it tough for them because they know that they can just draft another running back, you know, second, third, fourth round running back and still get that same type of production. Those type of running backs that can be drafted nowadays. So they don't want to pay these guys that's been in the league for a few years. But, yeah, Amari Cooper, when he got traded there to Dallas, him and Dak showed out those last, you know, that last second half of the season. So I expect the same thing to happen as long as Zeke there. I wouldn't want to put all the pressure on Dak Prescott to make things happen by passing the ball, you know, 50 times. They won't win like that. They need Zeke to carry the ball, to touch the ball at least 30-some times in the game. They need Zeke to do that. Number 13, they got Brandon Cooks, who I wish would have stayed in New England, but, hey, they made the Super Bowl without him and played against him in the Super Bowl. But he had a good year last year for the Rams. And, you know, I see him doing the same thing again. They got that same offense in place. Goff's still there. Gurley's still there. Robert Brooks still there at the other receiver spot. So I don't see a reason why Brandon Cooks shouldn't produce, you know, still. So that's about right. Then the other wide receiver for the Vikings, Stephon Diggs, who played opposite Adam Thielen. He's another good pickup. And Kirk Cousins has a rapport with him also. And they can make things happen. And that's why Minnesota has two good wide receivers. I mean, these are two Pro Bowl caliber wide receivers in Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs being at 14 is about right. And then Robert Woods, Brandon Cook's teammate, who I just spoke about for the Rams. He's number 15. He rounds out the top 15 for wide receivers. See, these guys can make things happen. And one of my favorite Patriot receivers, Julian Edelman. We know he's going to make, you know, as long as he stays healthy, don't get hurt, he's going to get the numbers as far as his receptions. He might not get a lot of yards, but he's going to get the reception numbers. They got him at number 18. So, I wanted to try to pick up the N'Keal Harry guy, a rookie for the Patriots, but he's hurt. And they might put him on the IR to start the season, so we probably won't see him the week 8. Another good receiver, like I'm going to say honorable mention, is Kenny Galladay from the Lions. He played good last year. Now, I expect him and Matthew Stafford to connect even more this year, so he might be a sleeper fantasy receiver you could pick up. Kenny Galladay. Check him out for Detroit. All right. I got 4 minutes left, so I'm going to breeze through these tight ends. All right, so for tight end, normally, like the last 4 years in my fantasy football league, I've been picking Gronk as my first pick. Yes, tight end, my first pick, usually be Gronkowski, because I know I'm going to get 10 games out of him, and I know he's going to produce. He didn't produce last year because he's playing hurt. He just didn't look right. So, of course, now the number one tight end is Travis Kelce. Can't go wrong with him, even though he just does one thing. He just catches the ball. He's like a big wide receiver. He doesn't block or anything. He just catches the ball. So Travis Kelce, number one. Now, this guy's who I want, George Kittle, San Francisco. He came out of nowhere last year. So that's the wide receiver. I mean, that's the tight end that I'm going to try to focus on. If I can get him, I'm going to get him. George Kittle's good. Zach Ertz. Number three, Philadelphia. He's one of Carson Wentz's main weapons when Carson Wentz is healthy. Wow, they got O.J. Howard from Tampa Bay, number four? I don't know about that. See, that tells you how weak tight end is because O.J. Howard, he hasn't done anything since he left Alabama. He went to Tampa Bay, but I didn't see him making a lot of plays for Jameis Winston last year. They got him at number four. I think David Njoku should be like number four from Cleveland Browns. And they got David Njoku at number nine. I would take David Njoku. Vance McDonald for Pittsburgh. I would take him over O.J. Howard. They got him at number eight. Jared Cook. Okay, they got a bunch of guys that I would take over O.J. Howard. Hunter Henry, they got number six, but we don't know how good he's going to be. He was hurt all last year. So he's coming back off injury, so we don't know how good he'll be for the Chargers. Evan Ingram, he was a rookie last year for the Giants and Eli, so I don't know how good he's going to be. I mean, he made a few plays last year, but, you know, can he improve his game this year to be one of the top tight ends? I have no idea. I don't know. But I know from 4 to 9, I would change this all around. I said 1, 2, and 3 are fine. Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Zach Ertz, that's your top three for tight ends in fantasy draft rankings. I take that. I agree with that completely. But 4 to 9, I would change up. I would have David Njoku from Cleveland Browns at number 4. Because, like I said, I believe Baker Mayfield is going to make things happen with him. And I believe that at number 5, I'll put Vance McDonald. We see Ben Roethlisberger like him. He passes him the ball. He makes plays for him. Number 6, I would have Jared Cook. We know what he's done over the years. He's a veteran. He makes plays for whatever quarterback he plays for. Then at number 8, I'll probably have Hunter Henry and then have like Evan Ingram or something like that at number 9. Then at 10, they got Austin Hooper from the Falcons. Number 11, they got Delanie Walker, who was good before he got hurt last year. So I don't know if he's going to come back and, you know, be back to his form the way he used to be. Because like I said, it's like when you have those knee injuries, you got to take a full season to get yourself back to the way you were. So I don't know how good Delanie Walker will be. Trey Burton for Chicago used to play for the Eagles. I think he need to have a good year if the Bears want to have any type of aspirations to making it to the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. We know their defense in place. They just need Mitch Trubisky to play good, and they need good. They got decent receivers and decent running backs. All right. I want to thank whoever was listening. I appreciate it, and I'll be doing this again on Thursday. Thank you and have a good one.